I want us to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We're all familiar with this passage of Scripture, but it has greater implication than just a Bible story. Today I want us to think about the subject, my desire is to see Jesus. Look upon his face and hear those faithful words, welcome home, my servant, a job well done. Let's begin there with verse 1 in chapter 19 of Luke. Jesus entered the passage through Jericho, and therefore there was a man named Zacchaeus, was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was small, little in stature. And he ran ahead and climbed up the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he had saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood up and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, The half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation. Come to this house, forasmuch he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Many people have a desire to see something. I don't know about your life. I'm sure there have been times in your life that you had a desire to meet somebody famous. I never will forget by growing up in a small town, thinking that I'd never be able to go in the White House sometime. But I did. I went all the way through the White House. I didn't get to go into Oval Office, but I went, you could see where it was at. You see, the fact is many people has a desire to go in the most luxurious house in the world, where our president lives, where the business are being contacted. And how that many times being involved in business is to be able to see the CEO, the president of the company, meant a lot. And being able, as a young person playing ball, to be able to meet champions, outstanding ball people, and professional, and the pros. But you know, today, the greatest desire that I've ever had in my life is to see Jesus, to look him in his face and hear him say, welcome home, my child, a job well done. I want to look at him. I want to thank him for saving me. A poor lost sinner that seemed that the world was not attracted to. But yet here is a living God who loved me so much that he died on the cross of Calvary. And he said, Father, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. Not only he saved me, but he even went farther. He called me to preach the gospel. Folks, I'm not here by a grandmother prayed for me. I'm not here because one day I thought it was a good idea. I fought it. I didn't want to be a minister. I heard them many times how they were criticized, falsely accused. And look, I didn't want to get involved in that. I didn't know, but after I married Diane, she had told her mother, she said, there's two people I wouldn't marry, a preacher and a doctor. I said, why didn't you emphasize doctor? But you see, the fact is, it's not just doing what you want to do. That God has a plan for our lives and responding to the will and the way of God and become what He wants you to do. It's not about popularity. It's not about the money. It's not about all these things. To be able to stand and say, I'm a poor lost sinner saved by the grace of God. And God seemed fit to call me to preach the glorious gospel. I never take that for granted, folks. Even with those children, we never know what they'll become. Over the years, I've had little girls, little boys. I've had to pick them up and set them on the pew. One little girl one time told me, she said, preacher, I love you. When I get married, I want you to marry me. I thought, well, she'll grow up. Forget about that. A number of years, Thanksgiving Day, I got a phone call. She said, preacher, this is Donna. Don't you remember me? When you did the children's talk, you told me, I told you I want you to marry me. I met the outstanding young man. I want you to marry me. Some of those young children are CEOs of a drug company. Some of them are CEOs of a hospital system. Teachers, leaders, great men of the faith. We never know, folks. And the greatest opportunity that God will allow us to have a little speck that God has called and used them. I know they're aggravating. You know how your children are. You remember when they give you that little bundle, oh, this little bundle of love? They grow up. That little bundle of love, you worry me to death. I wish you just quit doing that. I had a little black boy one day, he said, I want to be a basketball player. His grandmother said, I done told you forget about that. You ain't gonna ever be no basketball. I said, don't tell him that. I said, let me tell you something. Able one person to keep him from being a basketball player, that's himself. But you know, if he doesn't make it to pros, that's all right. But encourage him. Don't discourage him. You see, the fact you don't know what he'll be. You don't know what God wants him to be. And many times in our children, our family, when they're growing up, we already select what we want them to be. No. We're encourage them to listen, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to be who God wants them to be, folks. And you know what? They're going to be the best if they are in the will and the way of God. What is our desire today, folks? What is our desire today? To make more money, to have a higher position? And I know that money is important. It takes it. I told mine too when they graduated. I said, look, I have worked hard and sent you through school. You have worked hard. Do what you enjoy doing. And if you do what you enjoy doing, you'll do it every day. You won't regret it. You won't have to feel, I'll be glad to get out of this. And most of all, have the desire to be who God wants you to be. Here in the text this morning, I know you probably heard it in Bible school. Many of you that worked in Bible school, you probably used this. But it has a greater implication than just a little Bible story. First, I want you to notice what he's saying. He wanted to see Jesus. Now, folks, here is an Irish man. People don't like him. One of our churches, we had two auditors that retired from the IRS. They are the most lovable, sweetest, caring people that you want to know. But I know over the years, people hated them. Nobody likes the IRS. And in those days, the way that worked, you collected money for the government. And many of them, what they would do, they'd even go beyond that and collect more money for themselves. And here was a man small in stature, had been a tax collector. And the Bible said he was rich. Now when you stop and think about a rich person, they had higher goals to be richer. You see the fact that Zacchaeus, I want to see Jesus. And you know when God already prepared a way for Zacchaeus way before Zacchaeus ever existed. He heard that Jesus was coming to town. And his whole desire was to see him. But he knew the multitudes would oppress him. He couldn't see over them. He was small in stature. It's always amazed me to go to a Christmas parade or different parades. The biggest people in the world, they get right on the front seat. Little children back here, they can't see. All they're thinking about, I want to see. They don't realize if they let the children get in front of them, they could see and the children could see. But Zacchaeus knew that he wouldn't be able to see him. Now here was a sycamore tree. Sycamore trees made something like our palm trees, only it's a little bit more differs in ways, a little bit easier to climb. But what is Jesus? We know his desire because he said he went early. He didn't wait till the last minute. He didn't wait a tragedy in his family. He didn't wait till when it was, he thought, well, there ain't no way I'll see him. He ran ahead, it said. And he climbed that sycamore tree. And you see what is when he climbed that sycamore tree, what happened? He saw Jesus. And folks, today if we're going to see Jesus, we got to get above the multitude. You see, today the world doesn't want us to see Jesus. How many times our jobs and our popularity and our civil groups and all the activity keeps us from seeing Jesus? But God provided a way for him in advance, didn't he? And when you and I have a desire to see Jesus, God's provided a place for us. The church. Church don't save you. But I believe you're a saved person. You don't want to be involved in the house of God, folks. You see, no greater opportunity to see Jesus and to serve him then in through the local church. One of your former pastors, I remember the first time I met him. He came to me, he surrendered, the priest came, and he and his wife came. And he said, God called him to be an evangelist. Well, I was learning too, I didn't know. And she spoke up and said, God's called me to be a missionary. But I did know one thing. God wasn't going to send her to Africa and him on the other part of the world. But you see, we have desires. And many times we want to do what we want to do and ask God's blessing on it. You always remember this. God will never give you the things to do your agenda. But he'll give us all that we need to complete his will for our lives, folks. No greater way can we through Christ's church. No greater love, and no greater encouragement than to see those that know that Jesus Christ is a loving God. He's a providing God. You see, he makes a way for us. I was a little boy from a mill village. And they had preachers back in them, old preachers back in then, they'd quote one scripture after another scripture. They'd holler, they'd run, and they'd scream, and most kids would get scared to death. But they brought this older, about a middle-aged guy, he came from Tennessee. And he preached. There was about two pews of us, boys and girls. Now, I was there to catch one of them girls. You got to tell the truth. First night he preached, and you know, I thought, man, I'm not going to go down to that front and say something matter with me, and I'm trying to catch one of these good-looking girls. But you see what happened? I went back another night. And that night I didn't care if the whole world was looking at me. And God spoke to my heart and I went down. And my life's never been the same since, folks. I had a greater desire to learn more about him. A lot of years after that, I spoke at a convention in Virginia. And that guy's picture was on the wall. I had that opportunity to speak to that convention. But it started that God provided a way to help me see who Jesus was. You see, the church is that opportunity to come, love, and the crowd's going to try to block us. And many times the devil's going to belittle us. You're not big enough. You're not good enough. You can't achieve those things. But God has a way to bring us above it. I think about little David when he stood before that Philistine giant. Here's the Israel army tried to give him their equipment. I think he weighed 140-something pounds. They were scared. They asked little shepherd David, do you not want to wear our equipment? He said, I don't need that. I'm going to use what God gave me. And God never protected me from the lion and the bear that he's going to feed me to this giant. You can't outdo God, folks. God's never going to ask us to go somewhere that he hadn't already been. That he won't go with us. We got to separate ourselves from that sycamore tree. Now, who in the world would have thought God would use a little old sycamore tree to change and win a man that was so evil, that had done so wrong, to change his life? You notice we know that he repented. Christ didn't have to say nothing to him. What did he say? He said, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have done somebody by false accusation, I'll restore it fourfold. Here was a man that's trying to take more and more from the people. He wanted to be richer and richer, and all of a sudden when Christ He's seen Jesus Christ. He changed his life, folks. All that wasn't important no more. He wanted to give it away. That sycamore tree, that church, that minister, that person can be that sycamore tree to get us above the crowd that we truly see Jesus. And then notice the results. He said, come down, Zacchaeus. Come down, make haste, come down. I'm going to your house today. Isn't that wonderful? The person that had drawn multitudes was going home with Zacchaeus. You see the fact that cities, the Bible said that when Jesus came, the cities would empty themselves to see the one called Jesus. Can you imagine how Zacchaeus must have felt? Now look, I've seen him and he's seen me. He's going home with me. And I can tell you today, God wants to go home with you today. See, I don't know. I'm just learning some names. I'm just putting people together that, but I ain't done a good job with that yet, but I'm trying. But I do know that God speaks to me. God gives me these messages. And you know what? He knows you're going to be here. And God's wanting to give you that sycamore tree to help you to get above the world and see Jesus, folks. You see, he not only received joy, and when he came to come down and Jesus responded, I'm going to go home with you. What a joyful experience. And the crowd began to murmur. Folks, they had to be Baptists. They murmured. Look at me. Look how good I am. He's going home with a sinner. You see, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, folks. Many times in the church we'll go, sometimes we just feel like we're left out. Oh man, we give the money, we do this and do that. But you know, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's all about Him. That's the reason we come to church. Not for the minister, not for the deacon, not for the Sunday school teacher. We come because of Him. It's all about Him. And they'll say, well, they done this and they done. Let me tell you something. Has anybody ever nailed you to a tree? Spit upon you? Call you all manner of names? No. And I don't have any reason to murmur at someone else. Because He went all the way to Calvary for me and for you, folks. I go to prepare a place. And I'm going to come. One day you'll be with me also. You see, folks, look at the results. And then I want you to notice the final point. Salvation restored to this house. Jesus said to him, salvation is going to be restored to this house. And you see, we go out and live a life of sin. We're going to take it home with us, folks. And you know what? It not only affects us, it'll get all over our family. And it'll destroy families. I've seen some great men allow the devil not only to destroy their life, but their family life and their children. Jesus said, salvation is coming home with you today. Not only for Zacchaeus, for his whole house. You see what happens today? When God speaks to us, He already sees us before we see Him. You know, Jesus already knew Zacchaeus was going to be in a sycamore tree that day, didn't He? He'd already been looking for Zacchaeus afar off. God wants our lives to be complete. He wants to restore the completeness in our family. You know what's the matter with America today, folks? Now you listen to me. It ain't what's happening in Washington or the state capital. It's what's happening at home, folks. Children need leadership. And daddies are trying to do their thing, and mama's trying to do their thing, and the children have no leadership. As I said last week on Father's Day, a wise father teaches. I had a man one time tell me, and I may have used this. They were studying about the family life, and they were doing it in training. You want me to come? Now I went out, and the guy was leading the music of the church. He said he believed that God put him the head, and if he wanted his wife to do prostitution, she'd have to do it. I looked at him and I said, man, you're just a total idiot. I said, but I'm going to tell you something, what scares me more. We're fixing to go upstairs to a service and you're going to lead the music. Folks, let me tell you, it's time to take Jesus to our house. It's time for God to go home with us. Teach our young girls how to be a lady. Teach them how to live the Christian life. And teach our young men how to be strong and stand up for what's right and be the provider that they ought to be. It's time for us to let God go home with us, folks. It is time that we see and lead our children to come to know the Savior before it's too late, folks. Many of us are on third base. But you see, we're not going home because we don't want to go to the Father. I want to use this morning in closing. In one of our full-time churches, and Diane said, don't use so many personal things. Well, that's all I know. I don't care what Dr. Zoetzel said. I want to sell what I know worked. And we had this young girl. We were there, and she was so precious. Every Sunday morning, give the invitation, she'd go over in the corner and kneel and pray. Sunday night, the same way. And when we did joint Bible study, when she done the same. One day she come to me, she said to me, Pastor, you think I'm wrestling with God, but I'm not. I belong to Jesus. But she said, I pray because I want my mother to be saved. I got a daddy that's lost, and I got a brother that's just got out of prison, and he doesn't know Jesus. They lived across the backup of the river. And when it rained, you had to get an old boat, John boat, and go across. She came every time she could come. Her daddy would run some of the deacons and other people off and tell them not to ever come back to his house and not be bothering his daughter. We had a youth group, and many of us, we'd slip her money, and the ladies would buy her clothes. We want her to be a part of them. And I told her, don't ever get up, Gina. And one Sunday morning, I was preaching the glorious gospel. Here came that heavy-set woman down that aisle. And she said, Preacher, I won't be saved. I've run for God so long, and I want Jesus Christ to come in my heart. Thank you, God. Thank you, Gina. That Sunday night, preaching the gospel, and this old rough-looking feller had these brogans. Some men used to call them clodbusters. Had them all overhauled, that old plain shirt on, and I give the invitation, there he come down that aisle. He said, "Preacher, I've run for God enough. I have fought. I've tried to keep him away from my family, and I want to be saved tonight." He kneeled, and I looked up, and there was that son. He said, "Preacher, I need Jesus." Gina was that sycamore tree, folks. God used her that her mother, her dad, and her brother could see Jesus. I had an opportunity to baptize all those three together. It works, folks. We're not telling some fairy tale. We're telling it works. You see, the fact that it works because when we see Jesus, he sees us. He wants to go home with us today, folks. You see, the fact is many times, yeah, we're in the home. We tell them everything they do wrong. We bless them out. What do we tell them about Jesus? You know what problems with teenagers today? They need to see Jesus, folks. You see, they're starving to death for love. And many times when the children come to church, and many times they're just so much trouble, we don't want to include them. Many times young people are hard to deal with if you take them somewhere. We had a group of 26. We took them all the way to Austin, Minnesota on a mission trip. But we took them to Disney World in Florida. You see, the fact is they're starving for love, folks. And they won't see Jesus. And today our invitation is this, very simple. It's 300 without him. And folks, I can say today, without him, you can't do nothing. But Paul said, he being our strength, we can do all things. If you want that joy, you want that assurance that Zacchaeus found, will you come to Jesus this morning? And if you know Jesus, your personal Savior, would you come and rededicate your life and say, I want Jesus to use me to lead my family. If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, but you're not a member, you know what? The devil uses that against you, folks. He'll get you where the fire's at, but you can't participate. I don't know any greater church than I've served over the 35 years than the fellowship and the love that's in this church, folks. I don't want anyone who wants to be a part of it. We want to extend that warning to you this morning, an invitation. Brother's going to come and lead us in this invitation. Now, you'll close that invitation. So would you come?